about a 10-year-long season together in the past. And so I'm going to pray for him. You guys just bless, reach your hands out to him. Father, we bless Kevin and Anna today, Lord. We thank you that they're one. And today, God, as you have granted us, Lord, an opportunity to hear from their heart, God, what you've deposited within them. Lord, we thank you for ease and clarity. We thank you for anointing and power, God. We thank you for truth, the truth that sets the captives free, Lord, to be going forth here from this place today. Bless them, we pray, and thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Kev. Thanks. How's everybody doing today?
Good.
I'm a little sweaty from that intercession workout back there. That was good. Yeah. But let's pray. I want to take a second just to lift our hearts. You know, God isn't in outer space. He's within us. You know, he lives in our hearts. And I just want to, you know, there's a little bit we're talking about today, about the nearness of the Lord, the kindness and the goodness of the Lord. So let's lift our hearts for a second. Father, we lift our hearts to you. We thank you, Lord, that you hear us and you're present with us right now. Thank you, Lord, you didn't leave us as orphans, but you're just transitioning us into new things. God, you're resetting the clock, you're resetting the times. God, you got a new commission, a new thing for this church. Thank you, God, for these wonderful people who love your name. God, we just release your spirit like a dove just to come and minister. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, after Awaken the Dawn, that happened, you know, earlier in the month. It was if people don't know, it's like it was a major prayer event, and people from all over the state came, and it was pretty cool. And one thing we got out of it, and I sensed, was there's a shift coming in the spirit. I don't know if everybody else has been feeling that or not, but God's shifting, and he's doing something new. And I was really encouraged. I remember I was in the tent during the event. I remember kind of getting that scripture about when Elijah was praying for rain, and there was like the fist, the cloud the size of a man's fist that he saw after praying forever for it. And I was like, you know, I think that's coming. We've been feeling that for a long time. God's doing something in our generation. And it's not some pie in the sky idea. That's something that I believe is going to happen. And he wants to reset and reorient things again. And he wants to do something new. I remember I was, when I was in school a long time ago now, it's been like, you know, several years, but back in 2003, I remember hearing someone say, you know, that back in the 90s, like the river of God was horizontal. You know, it was like we have to go to a place to get filled at the time. But the shift and the transition was coming where we realize the kingdom's in us, the Spirit of God's in us, and we can draw from him and live out of that place all the time. And that's the shift. I remember being pretty young, like a young kid, 18, 19 or something, being like, I don't know what that means. I have no idea, but I want that. And I don't have it yet, but I want to walk that out and live that. I think that's the challenge for the church right now, is to know how to meet the challenges of the day. Because there's I don't know if you guys noticed, but the country's very divided. People are very angry. The church is kind of splintered. And you know, like Mike Bickle said, our house is on fire. It's not a joke. You know, it's true. And we're like one match away from the whole thing going up. And so we need the Spirit of the Lord of how to move and how to even, you know, begin to minister to this generation. The challenges are so insurmountable. Without God, you know, it's all going to fall apart. But the good news is he's about miracles and he's about making things new. And so it's a message of hope. It's not like I'm here to like, hey, guys, let's panic and cry. You know, it's not what I'm saying, but it's saying like, you know, we have to draw from the inner well of the Spirit. So we're being kind of called to reorient. So let's turn to John 7. That'll kind of be the text we're going to work with today. And it's kind of a famous one around here. We talk about the river of God and quite a bit. We talked about it earlier in the year. It's John 7:37. So let's all turn to that, please. And then my lovely wife's going to come up after I'm done and talk about some things God's put on her heart, too, that are really good. Okay. So John 7:37. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Not livers of living water. That'd be terrible. That's a terrible image. Okay. Rebuke that. Okay. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. And so the context of this, we're kind of taking it, you know, that little verse sort of in the middle of everything else going on, but it was the Feast of Tabernacles that was going on at the time. If anyone knows about what that was, it was an ancient Israelite feast where people would literally camp outside in these shelters they would build. because this was to commemorate the time when the children of Israel were in the wilderness for 40 years, and to do with sojourning and journeying and you know, living like hermits and pilgrims and things like that until they had their own land. And one of the things at the end of the festival, there was this water ritual that they did. It wasn't in the Torah, the Old Testament, but it was in the Second Temple period around the time this happened, and they would draw from one of the pools that was in Jerusalem and bring it up to the altar, and they put it on the altar, and it was like a big deal because it had to do with like praying for rain and all this other stuff. It was a harvest festival. And so Jesus, after this happens, this is around the time towards the climax of the feast, this happened. So after that happened, he got up and stood up and said, what you're really looking for is right here. You know, it's this whole symbology, the signs, all this stuff points to me. Like, he is the transition into the new thing God's doing. He is the whole point of the whole story of Israel. He's the shift. He's the one we draw from. And it's, he's crying out and saying that to them at the time. And it's really compelling. I like the image. It's like, whoever is thirsty, let him come and drink. And he stood up and shouted this. And I like that imagery of Jesus. We all think of Jesus like this hippie guy who just sort of was mumbling and would heal people and run away or whatever it is, you know. But he was up there shouting and drawing attention to himself amongst all these people in a really pivotal time in Israel. And he's saying, hey, I'm the one you're really looking for. And I'm the true king and I'm the true river of life. You know, this, like, everything else is just pointing to me. And there's a shift coming. And because, you know, in a couple, you know, 40 years, whatever years later, the temple was destroyed and all this stuff was kind of irrelevant anyway. So here he is saying this, a transition is coming. Are you guys listening? Are you guys hearing? Because some people, if you go on and read the rest of the chapter, they didn't listen at all. They're like, well, what's this guy talking about? Who is he? You know, they didn't understand. Some heard, but they weren't hearing with their ears. They're hearing here with their spirits. We have to listen with our spirits to the Holy Spirit. Just Bible facts alone isn't going to solve our problems. They're good, and we have to kind of get away from associating facts and spiritual things. Like, you know, it's a fact that Scott hates the Cubs, you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't buy Scott a Cubs hat because he'd burn it, right? You know, that's like a fact about Scott that's also a personal relational thing. It's like, you know, because I know the guy, I wouldn't do that. And he wouldn't buy me a Cardinals hat because I'd do the same thing, you know? So that's a good, clear in the air, you know? And so that's the same thing. It's like God doesn't remove facts and spiritual things. They kind of go together. And because we know Jesus, because who he is, we can enter personally into that personal relationship, which he's kind of asking us to do. It's not just a bunch of facts about a guy who lived a long time ago. He's a living God. He's God with us. He's present here now, you know? And that's the beauty of our faith. It isn't just a bunch of ideas and a bunch of philosophy. It's a man. A man who's living, a man who's alive and who's with us. And Jesus is saying, in effect, that he is the true spring of life. The spirit within us is for who believes and receives that life. He's also saying that it is his felt nearness that is the center of relationship in this. It, you know, the water, we kind of talk about the river of God, and we talk about the experiences, we talk about all those things, but those things are great, but the river of God is a man. You know, the experiences of his nearness and of his presence come around being around this guy, and they flow out of that. And the image here is that it's a river of living water to come and drink, but the river flows out of us. It isn't just something we store up and it gets, because if you store up water, it'll get putrid. It'll get bad. But he's asking the water to flow out around all the world around us. And that's the answer for how to meet the challenges is in that. It's like letting God speak through us, hearing what he's saying presently and letting it come out. You know, we often, like, want to throw words at people, like, especially if people don't believe in the Lord, like, just random Bible verses and expect them to, like, hey, you know, hit them with that and they'll change. It's not. It's like, what's he currently speaking? And if he uses scripture to do that, that's cool. You know, but what's God saying? And often he uses the scripture, but it's like there's a word that's directly spoken to a heart that unlocks that. And God steps in and the heart changes. So what's he saying right now? That's the question. Because the word believe in this passage is to entrust oneself to. That's the sense of the Greek word. It's a relational thing. The imagery here is water and life from Jesus flows in us and flows out of us to the world around us. So it's the overflow. And that's what we're kind of seeking. I think that's sort of the time we're in as a church. It's like he's getting us to be a church who are about the overflow. It's about getting filled and pouring out. Getting filled and pouring out. And not just going to a place to do that, which, you know, we are doing that. But realizing the tabernacle of God is in us. We can fellowship with him now. You know, that's the challenge, and it's the pursuit. And I don't have it all together. I'm not some spiritual guru dude. You know, I don't have all the answers, but Jesus does. He's God with us. And I think that's what he's asking us to do. He's not an impersonal force. He's not just a mere feeling. You know, we sometimes see God as only a resource to make life better instead of a king who is the center of life. And that's one thing we kind of have to remember that, okay. We sometimes see God as only a resource to make life better instead of a king who is the center of life. And he is. And that's one thing that, when we read the Old Testament today, we get confused because God seems kind of harsh. We have to remember that they were a people who were coming from polytheism. They believed in a bunch of different gods. They thought God, you can manipulate the gods through magic, about, you know, the right rituals, the right incantations, and you can make God do what you want. They were into manipulating God. And God was throughout the Old Testament showing, you know, I can't be manipulated. I can't be controlled. I am who I am. And will you be okay with that? You know, will you let me be myself to you? That's the message of the burning bush. That's the message of God encountering and drawing close. So are we going to let Jesus be Jesus to us? And that's what he's asking us. And what's he leading us and what's he doing? He's a father, a friend, and a king. He's not just our hippie buddy that's okay with everything we do, you know, because that's not the living God, you know, because we're broken and messed up. There's a lot of things that I'm doing that are wrong that I need Jesus to correct. But he's lovingly correcting me. He's lovingly molding me into his image. That's the good thing about God. We're used to living life in our own orbit and being our own kings and our own masters. That's what the American dream teaches us. But it's a lie. It always has been a lie. It's about coming into that orbit around God, like God's the sun, and we're all these plants that draw life from him. That's the biblical image. Like, we grow when we're in the light of the Father. That's what it is. It isn't legal things. Isn't, you know, we're obsessed with like the legal definition of right and wrong. Like, those things are important, but it's about the heart changing. So the essence of who we are conforms to God's nature. That's the gospel. It isn't a bunch of legal things. It's about organic things growing and changing. That's why communion and fellowship with God is so essential and so important. And he's moving us into more of that again, that intimacy with Jesus. Like, I really, really believe that. And because of Awaken the Dawn and those other things, we really feel that there's momentum in the Spirit to reignite the prayer movement again here. And he wants, and we're going to get that going. And at the top of the year, we're going to relaunch, and it's going to be going. So, you know, we'll, as a community, we want to seek the Lord together. Like, what does that look like? What does the Lord's Prayer look like as a community? It's kind of been on my heart this past year. What does that look like as a community doing that together? Because it's like, it's a crafted prayer to center ourselves in him every day, in our lives. What would that look like? You know, I think that's what God's sort of asking us. Because so often we get disappointed in Jesus' leadership. We just kind of expect him to give us what we want and then kind of leave us alone. But he's challenging us to let him be king fully. We see in John 7:40, let's read this real quick too. So, to kind of go back, Jesus says what he says. He's laying down the gauntlet, you know. In verse 40, when they heard these words, some of the people said, "This really is the prophet," which is someone Moses talked about in Deuteronomy. Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Is the Christ to come from Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the offspring of David and comes from Bethlehem, the village where David was?" So there was a division among the people over him. Some of them wanted to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him. So there's all this confusion about what Jesus was talking about. He's kind of asking them to make a choice. He's kind of sifting their hearts. And the question that he always asks, even in John, the beginning of John, in John 1:35, it's like, what do you seek? What do you seek? That really stuck out to me when I was a kid. And I never forgot that. Like, what am I seeking? Am I seeking him? Am I just seeking my own comfort? Am I seeking the American dream? Because it's a bunch of nonsense. The American dream is a lie. And I think it was George Carlin that said, it's like, you only believe it if you're asleep or something like that. And it's true. And I'm not knocking our country. I'm proud of our country. But the kingdom is such a bigger thing. It's a bigger story. It's a bigger challenge that he's calling us all into. We have to ask what God is saying presently. And we have to be careful how we hear what he's saying. So let's turn to Luke 8. This is the last text we're going to look at here. Luke 8, verse 9. And Jesus is kind of giving a parable about listening. Because we can listen, but it's different than hearing. I mean, if you know what I'm saying, it's like I can hear, you know, Anna talk to me, but then it's the difference between listening to what she's actually saying, you know, because sometimes as a husband I don't do that, and then it's like, wait a second, I need to listen to my wife's heart, not just listen to the words. And we do that all the time. We do it with God. We do that with each other. We have to be present. Okay, so he tells in the parable of the sower in the passage above. So in chapter 8, verse 9, and when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they have heard the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. And they believe for a while, and in time of testing, it falls away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear it, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and the fruit does not mature. As for that in good soil, they are those hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. So, and he kind of goes on and says, you know, be careful how you hear, and we'll kind of go down there in a little bit. But this is the kingdom, and words come by relationship, and we have to guard our hearts and guard our minds about what we're letting into us. Like that's what Scott's been talking about the last couple of months, about training the mind to hear God, training the mind to agree with what's really true. And I think God's challenging us into that so we can be mature enough to handle people and their brokenness when they come in. You know, it's easy to throw people out, and it's easy to get angry at people if they're not like us, if we're in a place of immaturity. We all have to grow. God's challenging us to, you know, will you be my hands and feet right now? Because people are broken and hurting, and there's division. There's all these things. And so our job as a church is to bring redemption, is to see the world redeemed and see God's kingdom come all around us. And that's the joy of the kingdom. It's not something we can do in ourselves. He's not asking us to do that. He's asking us to partner with him and flow together with God. Be carried away by his river. Be carried away by his presence. So it's encouraging. And let's go ahead and look at 16. He's talking about hearing again, but this time he talks about lighting the lamp. He says, no one after lighting a lamp covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. That's pretty sobering. And it isn't like Jesus is mean, he's like, he wants to withhold good things from us, but he's asking us, you know, be sure you're listening and you're connecting and you're going along with what I'm doing. Because we can miss him. There's a real danger of missing what God's saying and missing what God's doing, and I don't want to miss it. And I don't think we're not going to miss it as a church. That's what I'm saying at all. It's just, now's the time to listen. Like, ask the Father again, Father, what's on your heart? What are you doing? Because he's doing something here that's really beautiful and good, and it's emerging and springing up. Like, what are you doing, Father? What's on your heart right now? And I tell you, he has a heart for this city for sure. And I think there's something on this house that, I said it before, but it has to do with Lincoln. Lincoln carried the spirit of unity and the spirit of emancipation on him. And that's been given to the church in Illinois. We have to reclaim that again. We have to seek unity together and out of that place intercede for the state and hear from heaven and speak that out and see things change. Intercession comes by hearing God's words and agreeing with heaven and adjudicating on earth. That's what it is. It isn't just throwing stuff up there. It's, Father, what's on your heart? And let's pray that out. He's like, and today we were doing that. We were hearing God's heart, and it was coming out. And he's moving us back to that first love again, you know. His church has to wake up again because we've been asleep. And I've been asleep. We've all been asleep. It's like life gets hard. Distractions come. You know, we've been under siege, but he's doing something new. And it's a time to be joyful and to seize that. So I'm excited about what God's doing. So now's the time to ask, Father, what are you saying? What are you doing? And what are you shifting us towards? Because it's good. It's not bad. You know, he's a good father and he's a good leader. And I just want to agree with that. So what's he saying to us corporately, statewide, and nationally? What's on your heart? So I'm going to pray, and then Anna's going to come up, and she's going to say some things that God put on her heart as well. But Lord, we love you. We thank you for what you're doing. You're doing something new. And Lord, we disagree with you. You're a good father, and you got good things for us. God, just reignite our hearts. God, we just pray for just a burning passion for you again, God, to fill us. God, I need that, Lord. God, we all need that, Lord. We need you, Lord, in this time. We need you, God, to give us answers for the challenges that are on the horizon. And God, we thank you that your presence is in us and you are God with us. You're Emmanuel. Thank you, Lord, that you're here with us right now. So Holy Spirit, come and increase what you're doing. Bless our people, God. Bless them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay. Anna's going to come up and say some good stuff.
Amen. I'm going to pray really quick. Father, I just thank you so much for this opportunity to speak, and I pray that you would just calm my heart and that your words would come out of my mouth and not my own. Amen. So kind of dialing back, there's something that God had really put on my heart about a month and a half ago, and I've really been digesting and in kind of piggybacking off of Kevin's statement where we're talking about like the shifts that are happening in the church right now. Being his wife, I get to hear about all of the updates, different things that are going on. He follows this thing called Elijah's List. So there any new movements or any like things that, like when Mike Bickle released his letter or something else, I hear that a lot from him immediately. And especially after Awake in the Dawn, there's this feeling of a shift and an impact happening right now. And I think there's also reflective of what's happening in our church right now, that there is this huge shift happening here. Things like the Halloween event, the sleeping bag, the Washington Street Mission, the Wake in the Dawn, things like the prayer room, ISF, a lot of things are shifting. And I know for us, for me as well, there's a lot of things that need a shift. And it's really amazing that the Lord is pulling us all into that. And just as I was hearing all of this and really praying, because my life has been a lot of series of transitions, like, God, what does this next movement look like? What does life with Jesus as King really look like here, now, moving forward? And I kind of wrote out these different things, like community-centered, prayer-centered, relationship-centered. And as I was looking at that, I really love that the Lord has written so much of himself into the world around us, and that there's a lot of lessons that we can learn that aren't just straight up from the Bible, but he's just how he's written the world. And I looked at community, prayer, relationship, and saw the first three letters and thought of CPR. So I immediately went to the American Heart Association website, thinking, okay, essentially to really engage in community, prayer, and relationship, it all comes back to this thing in your heart. If your heart's not engaged, if your heart isn't corrected, if your heart isn't clear, then it doesn't matter what you do in community, prayer, relationship, it's tainted. And really, without Jesus, we're all tainted. So I was looking at the American Heart Association website, and it was talking about how globally, heart arrest and heart attack claims more lives than anything else. And it's something like this is a reality, not only physically, but spiritually. It's really an issue in our heart that comes back to everything. And in the Bible, it says in Proverbs 23:7, for as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. And really meditating on that and meditating on the fact that we need to approach all of these things with just as intensely as we would our physical heart health. We need to give that same priority to our spiritual heart health. And I was talking about like CPR, also on the website. CPR, especially if administered immediately after heart arrest, can double, triple the chance of survival. By standard, CPR increases survival by 45%. And really reflecting on things like Greg has been preaching about, the different stuff coming from Shepherd House, where it's really equipping not just pastors, not just the people who serve regularly, but all of us to be able to administer and to be ready when something happens. I know I need to grow in that a lot, but it's something that the Lord is really asking all of us to do, and I can see how God has really given that mission to people in our church now. Looking at the community, community is not just with the Lord. Everything comes from the Lord, and anything good comes from that time we have with the Lord, but also with the church. We can't just come on Sundays. We can't just be island Christians. We have to be in community with our church and honestly with other churches. We are all Christians, and even if, what is it, Kevin's constantly saying, I can't remember the name of who said it, but it's like Countess Zinsdorf, where it's talking about in the essentials, unity, and the non-essentials, liberty. While I was living in Japan, less than 1% Christian, a lot of my best friends were all from different denominations. At the end of the day, we love Jesus and we love Japan, and that's why we were there. And I had never experienced that kind of Christian unity before. Literally growing up in a Pentecostal church right across the way from a Baptist church, they're doing things now, but growing up they didn't. And that's something that we need to be cognizant of, especially in this Cold War, like basically a civil Cold War that we're dealing with in our country right now. We can't be fighting each other that way. And it's like, so in that community, we need to remember that. Also with the world, we are not fighting the people that we encounter every day. We need to love them. And it's like you can love and be informed about this world without conforming to it and letting it change you. That is entirely possible when Jesus is your center and when he's not where you're drawing your security out of. I'm an insanely insecure person, but when the Lord is my focus, life comes out of me. Prayer. It's like at home and in your quiet time, everything needs to start from there and anything good comes from there, but also corporately with the church. Growing and going on Tuesdays, but also things like the Awaken the Dawn, also in the community, or the prayer movement that's happening. Like, we need to be able to pray together because we learn. I've heard beautiful prayers coming from different people that have ignited my faith, and we need that community in prayer. And in our world, there's a lot of things happening on a global level. Awaken the Dawn, there's this thing called David's Tent. Since 2015, there's been a prayer at this national capital. They're actually switching hands state to state. I didn't get a chance to look up when Illinois takes it, takes over, but they're just praying nonstop, 24/7, since 2015. Americans each state praying things along, like with IHOP.
And there's shifting things too. Sorry, things have changed a lot because people are doing this. If you guys have noticed, there's like governmental shifts happening. You know, I'm not taking any political sides. You know what I mean? But it's just like we're not aware of what God does when we pray. We pray corporately and we go after something. There's power in that. So whatever's over this town, let's get it out of the way. You know, because God can remove that stuff. Like, why we got to center that stuff forever? Because it's there. You know, I've had dreams about it. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. No, it's okay. That's why you're standing here. But also back into relationship. It's like our relationship with the Lord needs to be right. When our relationship with the Lord is right, everything gets corrected from there. And it's like we can't function holy and purely as we were intended to, because like it or not, God chooses to work through us in the world. When we pray for change, we're the change. We are the hands and feet that he's put here. And I so wish sometimes that wasn't true, but that is. And we are the imperfect vessels that he chooses to do his perfect work through. And when we pray for that, that's us. And it's like, also with the world, so our relationship with the church, we have to love our Christian body, one another again, and then also with the world. Love first, like people don't care what you have to say until they know that you love them and you accept them. Mm-hmm. And that's just a reality. And coming back to Kevin, this scripture had come to my mind kind of after we'd spoken, but John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Mm-hmm. Love does, like earlier today, Bolu was praying and said, God, raise a standard. And I had that scripture in my mind, and I really felt God like saying, my love and my call for love is my standard. And until we display it and show that love to those around us, they don't know him. I'm like, we can say we love Jesus and then go out and do something radically different. And I'm like, there are people who are living lifestyles that aren't biblical and they aren't Christians, but we have to love them. Yeah. That is what they're going to hear more than anything else. And it's really our actions that, if they're imbued with love and full of his love, are what matters. Yeah. I kind of wrote this out too, and it's probably the last thing I'll say, but I listened to a lot of, after working with DCFS, I listened to a lot of true crime and I use it as prayer. And there was something that I came across this week. There was a story of someone who was in a position as a fireman, and he used his position to hurt others. And at the very end of a story, they read something called the Fireman's Pledge. And it was talking about, well, it's so sad that he used his position to hurt others when this is the pledge that he took when he started. And it reminded me of what God is really asking us to do. It's like a lot of firemen are volunteers. A lot of them run into things that In reality, when he was saying, Mike Bickle said right now our house is on fire, that's spiritually what we need to do. And the pledge says, I promise a concern for others, a willingness to help those in need. I promise courage, courage to face and conquer my fears, courage to share and endure the ordeal of those who need me. I promise strength, strength of heart to bear whatever burdens might be placed upon me, strength of body to deliver safety to those who are placed within my care. I promise the wisdom to lead, the compassion to comfort, and the love to serve unselfishly wherever I am called. And that's what God wants of us.
Mm-hmm. Let's pray. That's all we got. So I think we just need to find what the Lord's saying. And I think what he's calling us to is to pursue this community relationship and mission to reach our city and our state and our country and to see the tide turn. Because it's not impossible. God's a God that makes what's impossible possible. And let's believe that. So, Father, we love you and we thank you for today. God, we thank you for this community of people who love you. And, Lord, we just ask for an increase of your heart and of the weight of your spirit, God, just the heaviness and the burden to pray until we see something happen, God, to see a pushback, to see a breakthrough. God, we ask just for a breakthrough in this city, God, that, Lord, you would just release people to believe. You'd open eyes to see your beauty, Jesus. So, Lord, we wouldn't be about condemning the world, but shining the beauty of the man Christ. We pray for the beauty of Christ to pour out of our hearts into the world around us and to make the world jealous for you. God, give us a strategy from heaven of how to do that. We need you, Lord. We need you. We thank you for the shift. We thank you, God, for what you're doing. We thank you, God, for calling us back to our first love. We thank you, God, you put us here in the city, and it's not an accident. So, Lord, be with our people today. Bless us, God, as we eat chili. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Yeah, you guys stay here a minute. The Lord just stirred my heart to pray for these guys. What just happened, they just announced that the prayer room is going to advance and go forward, and that they are volunteered. They said yes to the Lord to help see that happen. Now, I support that, and I'm right alongside of them. But the reality of it is, it's a big task, but God's going to anoint it, and He's going to speak to many of us, many of you, to say, "How can I help support that?" And so we're just going to bless them in that, and I want to ask you to join with me to pray for them. And if you want to come up and get around them, I want to ask if there's any elders in here or anybody else who wants to just kind of agree around them. You guys, Dan May has known Kevin since he was a little nipper. It's hard to believe Kevin was ever little, but he was once, and Dan knew him back in that day. But this is a big deal. This is part of what's going to shift and shape this next season for us all together. So, Father, we just come around Kevin and Anna, and Lord, we bless them as Lord, as a father, I bless my spiritual son and say, God, I thank you for who he is, and God, who he is in my life, and who he is in this community, God, and who is your kingdom. Lord, I bless Anna, Lord, as a precious daughter, a sister, a friend, God, and a spiritual mother to many, and God, today, Lord, as you have just placed them before us, Lord, we consider this, God, a holy thing. God, we consider this, Lord, something not to be taken lightly, that the prayer movement, Lord, that the community and the prayer and the relationship dynamic, Lord, that you desire to spread throughout the city, yeah, even throughout this region and the state, Lord, that you've put that seed, God, within these two. And, Lord, that you would cause that seed, God, to burst forth and to be fruitful and to multiply, God, that we would get stirred, Lord, to say, I no longer want to be, Lord, in the audience. I no longer want to be an observer. I no longer want to be, God, somebody who's just watching what you're doing and making my judgments on it, God, but I want to be part of the groundbreaking force, Lord, that shifts things in the place, Lord, of community and prayer and relationship. God, if there were anything else better, Lord, to give our life to, I don't know what it would be, but God, for your kingdom to come and for your will to be done, God, is a high standard. It's a high calling, Lord. And we thank you today, God. We bless Kevin and Anna, Lord, in their leadership and doing this. We come around them as family. And Lord, we say, Lord, that everything that they set their hands to, God, may it prosper mightily. God, may it have fruit that remains. And may we, God, be those that respond when we're invited to join. However, God, that we don't make reasons or excuses or look for ways to give our least, or God, to slough off that which you're inviting us into. But God, we would energetically and with eagerness and with faith, Lord, say, God, I want to do what you're doing. I want to be part of the shift and the force and the change, Lord. How do I give myself fully to this? Lord, that would be what would resonate within the heart of your church, God, not just in this house, but Lord, throughout this region, throughout this city, throughout your church, all about, God. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. We love you guys. Thank you. Stand with me if you will. That's okay. You can shake his hand now. Thank you. God, as we go, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this invitation. And Lord, we know there's much more coming. And God, we want to be smack dab in the middle of your will. So, Lord, wherever we need to change, wherever we need to shift, Lord, we can step into a new chapter if we're willing to hold your hand. And we say, God, lead us and guide us with your truth. Cause, Lord, that which you desire for us to be the center of our life. Lord, that you are our world, that everything, God, that we have is from you. Lord, your beginning and the end, Lord, and we would live our lives according to that reality. We bless you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. A ministry time today will go on down in the basement. So if you are eating chili and you want somebody to pray for you, sit next to somebody and ask them to do so. And God is totally not at all upset if you have chili and prayer together at the same time. God bless you. You're beautiful.